Book of Enoch. Book of Enoch is now usually designated First Enoch to distinguish it from the later Apocalypse, the Secrets of Enoch, which is known as Second Enoch. The former is called the Ethiopic Enoch. The latter, the Slavonic Enoch. Book of Enoch is only found in the Ethiopic version. It was written in Aramaic and Hebrew, but those were lost, as well as Latin or Greek translations. 29 manuscripts exist for the Book of Enoch. I'm not suggesting it be added to the canon, but I'm telling you this, Jude quoted it. It was part of the literature that influenced the writers of the New Testament. In fact, I can sit down here when you have this and show you every book of the New Testament was influenced by this book. I'm not trying to canonize it. The manuscript upon which this translation was made was found in Ethiopia in 1768. I'd like you to have these as books, research to use as I refer to them in some of the teaching that we'll pick up on now. Again, I only need one of the 66 books of the Bible to teach faith. I'm not trying to add it. But you need it for some very interesting things. It was found in Ethiopia in 1768 by the Scotsman James Bruce. Same if you're alive. An interesting account by Charles F. Potter concerning this discovery appears in the December 7, 1935 edition of Liberty magazine, which reads as follows, quote, "In the mountain fastness of Ethiopia there was preserved for 13 centuries a precious manuscript which not only throws much light on the Bible, but which also was itself in the Bible for 5 centuries. And which should be restored to the canon of the Holy Writ," this man says. The story is a fascinating one. When Frumentius or someone else translated the Bible into Ethiopic, or Ge'ez, as it was called, in the 4th century, the canon, or books of the Bible, recognized by the Church as the inspired rule of faith and practice had not yet been determined. Constantine had to set up the state church and call a council canonize the scripture. Up until that time, a body of literature and oral tradition was circulating. Before Constantine came to power, when the Bible was translated, all that was then available, including the Old Testament, into Ethiopic, the canonized choice of scripture had not yet been determined. And you remember I told you we will, once we get out of Genesis and finish with the Dogon people and the Lost Tribes and the Pyramid and Stonehenge and a few other things, I want to take you through early church history on how we got our doctrines and where we got our Bible. So all I know, King James, good enough for Paul, good enough for me. Why some people like that lose 3/4 of their congregation. Some Protestants are worse than the Catholics in keeping you in darkness. Not all Catholics keep you in darkness. I never respected anybody on television as much as I respected Fulton J. Sheen. But there is and was an index. You know, you're not going to lose your faith because you open yourself to truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." The reason some people turn away from the church, they think they've got to reduce their head down to a pea, or their brain at least. All truth, no matter where you find it, will either lead you to questions that only God and His Word can answer, or will confirm the answers God has given. Just the way it is. It was in the Ethiopic translation. For more than a century, scholars and church officials debated as to whether or not certain gospels, epistles, and apocalypses should be included. To you to know how the Bible was canonized, and Tertullian played a large part in it. One of the big debates, by the way, there was a long time that they questioned the epistle to James. A very, very long time. And one of the major debates about canonization And at the time, there were Latin and Greek translations as well as the Ethiopic and, no doubt, Aramaic and Hebrew sources. But one of the big debates about the canon was whether or not the book of Revelation or the book of Enoch, which there is evidence in this book, he says, which had been accepted as scripture by Jesus and Paul, and there's evidence of that. I can show it to you in the quotes out of our King James. Accepted by the whole Christian church for several centuries. Now, I'm going to tell you something. No big problem, because I'm going to print another one. The book of Enoch that I wanted you to have had a much different introduction and a much better introduction. Somewhere between, you remember, I was selling Craig's books, and he was traveling around the world. And somewhere there came into his hands some data about the book of Enoch, which is different than that little black one. The content is the same as far as the book of Enoch goes. But the introduction that was in that black one was the one originally determined to print. Much better than what is here. And I'm honest enough with you to say that we will have to print a supplement to this, which will have something I'll write, too. And I'll print it the size you can sort of slip it in this book somewhere down the road, because of all the three books, you know, we've already talked and equally sad about it, and the pressure I didn't get to see. And as you know, we have the arrangement with Raymond Capp. We print a lot of his books. Somewhere, a different book was substituted. Not the contents, but the introduction. So I'll have to spend some time with you, and you can either wait until we make the insert or wait until I can give you the information for the book of Enoch. But I like what's being said here. But you that have listened to me teach, there's a long list of those who quoted the book of Enoch. Tertullian, Irenaeus, Ignatius, and the introduction, the history of its use through the early church fathers, that's not in this introduction. All we got is about a 4-page introduction. It takes nothing away from the book of Enoch. The book, the contents, it's like the supplemental stuff that's put on a King James Bible. The contents are the same. But I want to say to you that have seen me read from that black one, not quite identical. But let me finish this. They debated whether or not Enoch or Revelation should be included. And they had set a certain number. It's like the decision of the Gospels was based upon a numerology that Irenaeus pushed for, a 4. Revelation won out and became the last book of the Bible, and the book of Enoch, under a stigma because it was deemed uncanonical, gradually dropped out of use and finally disappeared. As time went on, scholars of the more intelligent sort desired more and more to see a copy of it, but there was none to be had. And the church began to destroy non-canonized books, and the book of Enoch disappeared. There were none to be had. Centuries passed. A student of Arabic, James Bruce, Scotsman, cherished the idea that the lost book of Enoch still existed in an Ethiopic version. In 1768, he went to Ethiopia, and 6 years later returned to London with 3 manuscripts of the Ethiopic Enoch, one of which he left to the British Museum. That brought us to 1774. For over a half a century, that brings us into the first half of the 1800s. Bruce's precious manuscript remained on the shelves of the British Museum before it was translated by Richard Lawrence, Archbishop of Cashel, Professor of Hebrew in the University of Oxford. Even then, it was not until the late 19th and early 20th centuries that Canon R. H. Child's translation and comment called the attention of scholars to the immeasurable importance of this document. You'll be fascinated with the story of the birth of Noah.